Lesson 27. Acts chapter 27 viewed from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the spirit. Acts chapter 27 is not simply a record of the experience of shipwreck that Paul suffered. This chapter is a grand history, showing how a person who possesses the already completed gospel of the water and the spirit trusts and testifies to the absolute sovereignty and promise of God, even amidst extreme crisis situations that he cannot control with his own power. The urgent sailing record of this chapter testifies to us what a person whose problem of sin and judgment has already been forever resolved holds on to and stands before the crossroads of life and death. Acts chapter 27, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the voyage. About the gospel walking the path of mission, not a safe path. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So, entering a ship of Adramidium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coasts of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day, we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days, and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete, off Simone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. When it is decided that Paul should go to Italy, he is delivered to a man named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment, along with some other prisoners, and boards a ship. As they begin the voyage, they go slowly for many days, and the wind does not permit. So they barely arrive at a place called Fair Havens, which shows that the will of God does not necessarily mean only a smooth tailwind. The gospel of the water and the spirit forever guarantees the salvation of the soul, but it does not always make the voyage of the flesh comfortable. Because Paul had already obtained the elimination of sin and eternal life by the baptism and the cross of Jesus, what remained now was only the journey of the mission to testify to that fact in Rome. Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 12. Paul's warning about the discernment of the Holy Spirit going beyond the experience of the world. Now, when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. Because the period of fasting had already passed, making sailing dangerous, Paul advises them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." This was not a simple guess, but a spiritual discernment coming from within the Holy Spirit. However, the Bible records that the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. The world always tries to trust the visible judgment of experts and human experience rather than God's promise. But the witness of the gospel sees the truth beyond the situation. Acts chapter 27, verses 13 through 20. The tempestuous wind, Euroclydon. About the moment when all human control announces its end. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose, called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught, and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had hoisted it, they used support ropes to undergird the ship, and, fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had achieved their purpose, they weighed anchor and continued sailing. But not long after, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon arose greatly from the midst of the island. When the ship was caught by the wind and could not head into it at all, they threw the cargo overboard into the sea, and even threw away the ship's tackle. The description. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up, symbolically shows how powerless human skill and wisdom are in guaranteeing life. That place of despair where all sense of direction has disappeared becomes the stage, proving that only the Word of God becomes the only way. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 through 26. The words of the angel about the fulfillment of God's promise, overwhelming the desire for survival. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me, and not have sailed from Crete, and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" Standing in the midst of the multitude who had not eaten for many days and had fallen into despair, Paul declares, saying, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." He conveys that last night, an angel of God stood by him and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you." While doing so, Paul confesses, "Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." This is the center of the one who has the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and shows the fact that the purpose of salvation is greater than human crisis. Acts chapter 27, verses 27 through 32, God's sovereignty and human responsibility. About the gospel of obedience, not neglect. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings, and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again, and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern, and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. On the 14th night of sailing, the sailors sense that the ship is drawing near to land and try to escape to save only themselves. At this time, Paul warns the centurion and the soldiers, saying, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved," and stops them. This means that God's sovereign promise does not justify human, irresponsible neglect. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a fatalistic resignation, but establishes an order of living faith that makes one fulfill one's respective responsibilities in the present place, because one believes God's promise. Acts chapter 27, verses 33 through 38. Paul breaking bread. About the order of grace established in the shadow of death. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged, and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. As day is about to dawn, Paul implores the many people to take food, saying, "Therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And it is recorded, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged, and also took food themselves. This meal performed by Paul in the extreme situation right before the shipwreck was not a simple meal, but a holy act infecting everyone with the peace and the order of grace of the one who has already obtained the elimination of sin, which not even the threat of death could shake. Acts chapter 27, verses 39 through 44. Shipwreck and the rescue of all. About the promise fulfilled in the way determined by God. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach, onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. When the ship is driven to a place where two currents meet and runs aground, the prow sticks fast and becomes immovable, and the stern is broken up by the large waves. The soldiers try to kill the prisoners, but the centurion, wanting to save Paul, stops them and commands those who know how to swim to jump overboard first. The conclusion, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land, shows that God's promise is perfectly fulfilled, not through the seemingly safest path that humans expect, but through the process of refinement determined by God. In conclusion, Acts chapter 27 testifies that the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a mystical spell that removes the storm, but an unshakable anchor that confirms the direction to go even within the storm. The one who has the conviction of salvation exercises bold discernment within a crisis, and God's promise is necessarily fulfilled beyond human limits. The will of God is not simply protecting the external environment called the ship, but protecting His people and their mission. Acts chapter 27 is a history proving the fact that the one who has the completed salvation stands at the center of the community, holding on to God's promise in any tempestuous wind. A sermon by Paul C. Jong. The word from Acts chapter 27, verses 1 through 44, is a record vividly showing with what the gospel saves people in the midst of a massive storm. When reading this text from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit preached by Pastor Paul C. Jong, this journey of the voyage is not a simple survival skill or a lesson on overcoming crisis, but becomes a powerful sermon on how a person who knows the already completed salvation holds on to an unshakable center in the midst of extreme confusion. In the process of Paul being escorted to Rome, he foresaw that the voyage would be dangerous and warned that this voyage would end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the words of Paul. This shows the reality where human experience and the opinion of the majority sometimes precede the voice of God. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit awakens us that the standard of salvation at least must be placed not on human judgment, but on the fact that God has already accomplished. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, they weighed anchor and sailed. But not long after, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon arose greatly from the midst of the island, and the ship was caught and could not head into the wind. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the great tempest remained, and even all hope of salvation was completely gone, the people threw the cargo overboard and threw away the ship's tackle with their own hands, struggling desperately for survival. Such an extreme crisis shows how easily the things humans usually relied on collapse. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit says that the hope of salvation is based on a historical event, not on a situation. This is because the eternal event that Jesus Christ took charge of our sins at the Jordan River, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and the Holy Spirit testified to this, is the reality of salvation that cannot be erased by any storm of the world. When everyone was despairing and not eating, Paul stood in the midst of them and proclaimed, "I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." He confessed, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.'" This boldness did not come from vague optimism, but from absolute trust in God's promise. The gospel of the water and the Spirit makes one rule over the present fear by taking the already ended salvation as the basis, and makes one convinced that the life promised by God will be preserved even if the ship is broken. On the 14th night, when the sailors sensed that they were drawing near to some land and tried to escape by letting down the skiff into the sea to survive, Paul warned the centurion and the soldiers, saying that unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged the many people to take food, saying, "For this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of everyone, and began to break and eat it. The reason he could offer a worship of thanksgiving, even though the storm had not yet completely stopped, was because the conclusion of salvation had already been confirmed. A person who knows that the power of sin and death has already ended obtains new strength to be able to eat the food of life and rise again even in the midst of the storm. When day broke, they did not know which land it was, but discovered a bay with a sloping beach and decided to run the ship aground there. But meeting a place where two waters meet and flow, the ship ran aground. The prow stuck fast and could not move, and the stern was being broken up by the great waves. The soldiers thought it best to kill the prisoners, fearing that they might swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, stopped their intention and commanded those who knew how to swim to jump into the sea first and go out to land. By making the remaining people go out relying on boards or parts of the ship, finally, all the people landed and were rescued. This conclusion, where the ship was shattered to pieces, but the people survived without a single one missing, shows exactly the structure of the gospel, that even if the human means we relied on are broken, the life promised by God remains. In conclusion, Acts chapter 27 teaches us that although a storm may tear down human meticulous calculation, it can never tear down God's promise. Whatever the ship of our life is, it can be broken someday. But our life secured by the baptism and the cross of Jesus Christ is never destroyed. The person who knows this gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus Christ took charge of our sins at the Jordan River, received judgment on the cross, and the Holy Spirit confirms this, is not overwhelmed by fear while not denying the power of the storm. Like Paul's confession, "It will be just as it was told me," we too must cross the storm of life, trusting God's promise to the end within the completed salvation. Questions and answers from Acts chapter 27. Question 1. How is the purpose to preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit to Rome accomplished in the situation of hardship that the Apostle Paul suffered in the whole chapter of Acts 27? The crisis of the tempestuous wind. Euroclydon and shipwreck that Paul suffered in Acts. Chapter 27 is a dramatic process, showing how the gospel of the water and the Spirit necessarily advances toward the center of the world called Rome, going beyond human limits. The reason Paul could maintain peace to the end and encourage people even in this situation of hardship was not simply because of a positive personality, but because he had the conviction of a righteous person who became reconciled with God as the result of all his sins being transferred by the baptism of Jesus. To Paul, whose problem of sin was resolved, the tempest was not a life-threatening disaster, but rather a massive pulpit prepared to testify to the livingness of God and the gospel of salvation to the 276 soldiers and sailors who were in the ship. The specific method by which the purpose of the gospel is accomplished in this chapter lies in showing the model of redemption through life. When everyone lost the hope of living and stopped eating and drinking, Paul proclaims, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" This is as if visually showing the principle of redemption, that when humanity was dying in the sea of sin, God passed all the sins of humanity over to the one person, Jesus Christ, through baptism, and saved all of us by the sacrifice of that one person. The event where the lives of everyone aboard the ship were preserved because of the one person, Paul, was a powerful sign, making them foretaste the vitality that the gospel of the water and the Spirit of Jesus Christ has on the way heading to Rome. Ultimately, the hardship of chapter 27 became not an obstacle to the propagation of the gospel, but a channel showing how the kingdom of God triumphs against the massive empire called Rome. The act where Paul took bread, gave thanks, and shared it inside the ship was not a simple meal, but a spiritual feast sharing the gospel of life with those standing before the fear of death. Through this process, Paul was imprinted on the Roman army and the Gentiles not as a simple prisoner, but as a man of God. And this provided a spiritual and social foundation for him to freely preach the gospel, even in a state of house arrest, when he arrived in Rome. God, who refined the purity and power of the gospel through tribulation, ultimately used even the tempest as a strong wind, carrying the gospel of the water and the Spirit right to the heart of Rome.